if only I had a spud gun, right? Okay, so I think that's about ready, is it, Wayne? Okay. Thanks for everybody for coming along. Start off with enable bring your own device into SCCM 2012. Just out of curiosity, how many people are still using SCCM 2007? Vast majority. 2012? Okay, and those that didn't put their hand up the second time, I'm assuming that you're looking at going to 2012 sometime soon, is that correct? Okay. So for those of you who've potentially been to some other BYOD seminars, webinars, that sort of thing, I must confess I've been to a few myself, probably in the last sort of 6 to 9 months, certainly since I've been asked to look after the QMX as one of the products in the Quest portfolio. And the overriding thing that I've come to notice is that a lot of the seminars are really focused on the legal aspects, the HR aspects, a whole bunch of those procedure process type of things. If that's what you've come to find, then this is not necessarily the session for you, okay? What I'm going to try and focus on is how to actually make it work, okay? Now, to a certain extent, one of the things I've also put myself way out there for, you'll see here there's a URL for a demo. If you want to use and I'll confess, I'm trying to restrict things a little bit to increase my chances of success. It's not for Android. Well, actually, you never know. I think an Android might actually work as well. I haven't tested it, okay, so I can't validate that. But if anyone's got an iPhone, an iPad, be it wireless or 3G, usually 3G is much quicker and more reliable initially. The Wi-Fi sometimes has issues. But if anyone's game, please feel free to jot down these details and go ahead, okay? I certainly... From my experience when I first started in the IT industry, I came from an electrical background, and my method of learning was, let's look at an executable, let's double-click on it, and let's see what happens. So if you're that inclined, then please feel free. Okay? I've certainly validated this and checked it against one of my colleagues earlier today. He was a guinea pig, thankfully. And it all worked quite well. So please feel free. Does anyone want to try this? Are they going to give it a try? Okay, excellent. All right. So by the time I get into the live demo, I'm hoping I'll see a fair number more iPhones, iPads, etc. And as I say, if anyone's got an Android, please give it a go if you feel free. But I can't vouch for anything on that one because I don't have the devices to test it. In fact, as I started setting up here, Wayne actually said, look, you can't take an iPad down to the stage. But look, you know, it's part of the demo, et cetera, part of the equipment, all right? So I guess one of the points is, and why we're discussing this, because iPads have really changed the technology landscape in IT. I was quite lucky in some ways to be privy to a JP Morgan report that was actually looking at it purely from an investment point of view, not from a techie's point of view the way we all do, okay? But from a JP Morgan report, when it's looking at an investment side of things, they're actually calling out the fact that you should short stocks in people who are just printers. That's not HP, but potentially the people like Lexmark, etc., Brother, those sort of companies. They're also talking about going long, or in their parlance, sort of putting investment into companies that make the screens, etc., and the back end, the Foxcons, if you will. Okay. The reality is, this is part of your landscape today, whether you like it or not, okay? It's something that we find constantly when we go and talk to customers and partners, is it's the top end of the department, top end of the companies, the CEOs, the CIOs, all of these folks, I've got this toy, I want to make it work, and I know it can, so just make it work. This is all part of this consumerization of IT, okay? Interestingly as well, I noticed another report that came through literally overnight for me, was that 1 in 3 emails today are done on smartphone devices. Okay? So it's amazing the way this landscape is changing, and I'm assuming that all of you are part of this change. That's one of the things that we're definitely going to be able to take away from IT today, is you've got to be an agent of change. You've got to be able to change and move with the times. Okay? Some very interesting stats. I mean, look, I'm not going to sort of go through those, but the one thing I would call out, has anyone here in this room got less than three devices? Has anyone got more than five? Bloody hell. Okay, I am saying like smartphones and above, right? For those people who put up their hands for five, right? I don't know, where do you put them all for starters? And what's it like when you're going through the airport security? Anyway, just as well we've got an Australian security system, not necessarily an American one, where they start taking your shoes off, etc., and all the rest of it, but that's another thing altogether. So really what I'm going to try and show through here is SCCM can be that single point of truth for your device management, okay? One thing that's probably not well known is that QMX, Quest Management Extensions from Quest, is something that will help enable SCCM to talk to non-Windows devices. Not just SCCM, but also SCOM, okay? So the nice part is when you're starting to look at all of this device management, and I mean, look, even one of my colleagues, Stu, looks after identity management. The whole point about identity management is to make Active Directory the single point of truth. It doesn't have to be Active Directory, but the main premise is that you take your most commonly used platform that's in use by 60, 70, 80% of your systems, and you try and enable that to be the single umbrella to encompass all of your identity management. Now, when you start looking at device management, be it IP addressing and a whole raft of other auditing, detailed analysis like that, if you've got more than one system, it makes it hard, impossible to do what we're being asked to do, which we're all being asked now with the economic side of things, to do more with less. And how the bloody hell can I do that if I've still got five bloody management consoles to try and run around and keep concentrated and keep in sync as far as just something simple like IP addressing? For Pete's sake, we're going to have IPv6 on our back before we know it, and then where are we all going to be? I personally have been ignoring it as much as possible. Sound familiar? I'm just saying, it's like if you're going to try and keep on top of IP addressing or something like that, if you can have a single point where you can actually have all your information, by the way, housekeeping, phones, please. I just heard a little ping there. Come on, put your hand up. That's all right. Okay, so the main point is, let's try and make it simple and easy to use SCCM and to leverage it as much as possible. We will do our best to try and make sure you get every single device into that, okay? We can't necessarily guarantee it because there will always be exceptions, but wherever possible, if you can take it from a 60, 70% mark and then take it out to 90, 93, 95%, it's going to hopefully make your life much easier. The whole point of this as well is if you start to automate things, then you can automate it coming back off one system. If you want to use PowerShell or something like that back into SCCM, then great. Starts to make it a little bit easier. So I guess one of the big call-outs here is that SCCM and QMX coexist quite nicely. One thing to do take away is QMX is an agentless system into the iPhones and iPads, okay, which does give it a slightly different take on some of the other various vendor products out there, okay? But I'd suggest that it's actually the better way to go, certainly for a BYOD. If it's looking at a bring-your-own-device strategy, an agent-based system is probably not as appropriate, okay? But the nice part about this is we can do this natively and seamlessly, okay, without extending the schema in the database in SCCM. To be honest, I didn't realize the differentiation myself, but when I speak to Microsoft and I mention that, they go, wow, that's fantastic. Okay, cool. Maybe someone else can help me understand, because certainly I will confess right now that I am not an SCCM or SCOM expert, okay? But it's pretty straightforward and pretty easy to get up and get going, okay? So, I mean, the main point here to leverage is it is that single familiar pane of glass. And, in fact, even talking to a couple of customers over the past day and a half, we've had people come up and say, you know what, for me, SCCM is not necessarily the thing I want to do because I'm not large enough. But for those companies that have gone down that and spent that time and effort to put in SECM, it's mentioned to me a number of times that it's quite large and complex to a certain extent, and you do need time to get your head around it. Now, again, I'm not an expert in this, but if you've already spent that time, effort of getting training and understanding and using the system, why wouldn't you want to use it for as many possible devices as you could? Does that make sense? So how does it work? It's a very simple system, okay? By the way, for those folks who did the trial, there's the two buttons. Did you run through both the trials? Did you get through the password okay? Yeah? So we've got a couple of nods here, so we'll see how it works when we get in there, okay? Sorry? Fair call. I'll take that off. I'll take that offline. Sorry, good point. Thank you very much. Sorry, it works with Safari, but it doesn't work with Chrome from the iOS side of things, correct? Okay, so it files on the certificate on the Chrome. Okay, I will take that on note. Thanks. And please remind me at the end of the session. Thanks. So what it's really about is a user turns up to the system. They're usually a member of a couple of Active Directory groups. Very simple, very straightforward. Okay, there's a simple enrollment process. And for those folks who've already just tried it, this is the button that comes up. The first part of that button is to trust the MDM service. All this is going to do is call through and get the CA root from the Active Directory system. Okay. Once it's got that, it'll go through the various process to add it into the profiles under the iOS device. And the second part of that is to then enroll the device. Okay. So that's the second part of the certificate, and that's when the service is actually put in and you get the XML. With that, we start bolting it into SECM. And with that, you start leveraging all those elements about inventory, reporting, software distribution. Okay. So then we start bringing it into the same mechanism that we've been using before. Okay. At this point, I can start pushing out things like restrictions, policies. I can push out applications. Okay. I can push out free applications or paid for applications through the vouching mechanism from the iStore. And you can also push out apps from your own internal enterprise store if that's what you've got as well. Okay? So at this point, this information goes back into the device, and then the device starts running through those various processes and policies, and we can start looking at a secure mail system, etc. Whoops. Yeah, a bit fast on my little clicker there. Sorry about that. What I have been doing is actually using this slide without the URL, but I've included the URL specifically because when you get to download this later on, I figured you might as well have a quick and handy reference to the URL. Okay? Do be aware that Apple has definitely gone to some lengths to make sure that NSA in the US and the DSD here in Australia, Department of Signals Directorate, if I've got that acronym correct, okay, have gone through and ratified some information from Apple as far as the best practices for iOS devices in a secure environment. I am not for any stage suggesting that Apple devices are necessarily a good idea in a secure or classified environment. Well, I'm sure Stu might have a different opinion on that, being a bit of a Mac boy. But, okay, at the end of the day, we have to live within this environment that we've got today, okay? These various devices and these various bits and pieces all come together, and we're being asked to make them work, whether we like it or not, whether we agree or not, okay? It's something that we're being asked to do, okay? So let's see if my demo, and let's see if I know how to drive this properly. Sorry? Good point. The username is quest/demoanz. Okay, so that's quest as the domain, quest/. And it is the traditional, if you like, I call it this /, but look, my wife keeps telling me it's the wrong way, but who cares? Whatever. The way you normally do with the domain credentials. Demoanz, password is capital P, the @ sign for your email, SSWORD. Okay? So what I've got here is a system where I've just headed into Microsoft Labs. I figured I might just showcase the fact that it's in Microsoft Labs. It is running in Redmond. I've actually accessed it using my vWorkspace system just to run in there and make a connection. And then I'm going to actually hop across. Oh, that's not good. Can everyone cross your fingers for me, please? Sorry? Okay. Okay, something's working. Okay, that's better. Whew. Hate it when that happens. Right, so here we have the QMX server. Interestingly enough as well, compared to some of the other products, this is really, really simple. And I would like to call that out to a certain extent. What Quest does is we try to keep software really, really simple. And without being, you know, dismissive of it at all, I work there. The whole point is we like to make it simple and easy and effective, and it does what it says on the tin. So to that degree, we don't even actually in QMX give you all of the tools to be able to create their profiles. What we simply suggest you do, or not suggest, you do, okay, is go and create as many profiles as you like using something very simple and very effective, the iPhone configuration tool. Now, this can be run on either a Mac or a Windows. It's very simple, very easy. And the really nice thing is, oh, hang on, what's today? The 12th. It is the 12th here, but it's not the 12th in the US, but tomorrow is the release of the iPhone 5, or what's widely to be called the iPhone 5, whatever it turns out to be. Should there be an iOS update at some point, it doesn't matter to us, because as soon as it changes, you can simply go and download the latest tool and use that to create it. We don't have to update our product, okay? You can run through this, and you can see here at the start, I'm just creating a basic profile. The one piece I would call out is just down here. You can see the security. Security is set to either always with authentication or never. This is really just highlighting how much this profile will be stuck on that device. And generally speaking, and I do say it's generally, with a BYOD model, you're really going to be looking at letting the users remove this any time they choose. Does that make sense? Because the whole point is, why should you enforce your policies full time if that user's actually brought their device, okay, into the system? On a side note, okay, one thing I would say is anybody in any doubt about the ROI of BID? I know I've used two acronyms, but I mean the return on investment on implementing a BYOD system. Is anyone in any doubt about that at all? Yeah? Okay. Good technologies have a white paper which shows that by their estimation, and this is a US-based one, by the way, companies will see a 7 hours a week increase in productivity from users. Now, whichever way you cut it, I think they actually roll it out and they say this is $3,000 a year. Actually, that's in US terms, where the lowest, you know, what's the minimum wage? I can't remember, but they're talking about it being $3,000. 7 hours. I know I do more than 7 hours. What about you, Gary? You don't. You're a slacker. I'm going to have to say words about that. Anyway, the whole point is, if you're going to get 7 hours, I don't care if it's 7 hours or if it's 3.5 or 3. 3 hours. Here in Australia, if you think about it, let's multiply that by 40 for weeks. Let's not go 50 because that's a bit carried away. We've got a pretty decent leave system here in Australia where you get 4 weeks or maybe more. Actually, someone came to me today and they're actually a teacher and they were boasting about having 8 weeks annual leave. That made me spew. But the point is, if you take the 7 hours, and I don't care really how you slice it up, even if you take 3 hours by 40, you end up with 120 hours, do you? Have I got that right? 120 hours. What's the going rate for an IT contractor today? Actually, that's probably a wrong question to ask. Sorry, folks. Well, 100 is way too high, right? Figured so. All right. So at 120 times 100, look, 12,000, carve it, 6,000. So I've just done a quick calculation of 50. But it's $6,000 per employee. But does that give you at least a basis of how that ROI can quickly turn out? It's quite incredible how that can be very simply justified. Does anyone actually have a BYOD model today in their company? Anybody's? I only see a couple of hands. There's not a very big show. I'll tell you right now, Quest does. But we don't actually have an acceptable use policy that we signed to do it. Does that mean you're going to stop doing it? I don't think so. You know, please be aware of the fact that I really think in some, you know, what we're seeing here is that BYOD is coming at you, if it's not already, like a train. Get on it or you'll be under it to a certain extent. You know, that's a bit radical perhaps, but anyway. Look, I digress, and I hope that we're all techies here, so when I digress, you digress with me and we'll sort of get back onto the circuit, okay? So, setting up minimum passcode lengths, etc. I can set up alpha complex characters with alphanumeric, etc. There's a whole raft of settings under here. You can start setting up restrictions. Please feel free to have a look at this yourself. I can certainly add more details to it. You've got the various Wi-Fi components. You can add multiple sets of Wi-Fi enrollments. There's also certificates down the bottom here as well. There's quite a varied length of what you can do here as far as settings running through here, okay? So certainly bringing through things like credentials, etc. You just press configure, and then it starts looking for certificates on this device and then picks them up and runs with them. So that's how you create a profile. When you're finished, you actually just simply export it, okay? And then you've simply got export there, okay? So if I just export it, and you end up with a file called a mobile config, okay? So that's how you create the profiles. The interesting thing as well, we're quite happy to start layering them up. So for instance, in a very simple scenario, I guess, from an education, you may have a base config which sets up, say, a VPN, maybe multiple Wi-Fi access points, and then on top of that, you would layer two other profiles, one for staff, one for students, okay? So then you can set them and allocate them into collections, and then when they're in the collections, as the users enroll, they simply pick up these profiles as they run through. It is that simple and that straightforward, okay? So I'll just come out of there. Now I'm actually going to show you the QMX extension console, but in all honesty, there's not a lot to it, okay? It is simply a service that does bidirectional communications, which allows the device to come through and get ported into the SCCM, okay? Now, if I look at this, maybe there's a few more Androids than I thought. Let's have a look. Oh, yes. So, does anyone recognize their device there? Anybody? There looks to be a couple there. CTS Nathan on site? No? Sorry? Okay. So if I look at the iPhone, certainly there seems to be one or two more additional ones in there. Okay. So what I'll do, this is just the service, okay? As I say, it just brings the information straight through here and I can just look at this natively. If I now go ahead and look in the SCCM, okay. So I think we can see a few extras in there. What I'll do is just pick the top one here. And if I just run through Start, Resource Explorer, and under Hardware, Applications. In fact, let's first of all identify whose this is. Actually, sorry, that's mine. That's a cheat. Hang on a tick. That's not fair. Got far too many apps on that anyway. All right, so let's jump down to this one. Oh, no, sorry, other colleagues. Whoops. Let's try this one here. Sorry? It should be, should have come through, I must confess. Okay. Oh dear. There goes my demo. Okay, so let's look through mine. So once we can identify the device, if we have a look at the application list, I mean, this one's, I really do need to clean out my iPad because you can see I've got a heck of amount of, well, hopefully there's nothing. I think I've got away with it. Yeah, so there's not too much damaging there. So the whole point is there I can see the applications. The nice part about the way this system works as well is even from this point, I can start pushing out additional applications and additional profile settings on top of the existing device, okay? Even at this point, what I can do is I can actually remove profiles and remove apps, but only the ones that I push out, okay? Which is also a very nice and neat, interesting way of looking at the BYOD system, okay? So if I look at it very simply, and again, bear with me because this is not my area of expertise perhaps, but if I look here at remote tools, okay, this is where we've just got some simple extensions into the system that allows you then to start pushing down either locked device, clear passcode, or wipe device. You'll be happy to know that if you do press wipe device, it does actually stop you before you start getting too carried away. I am prepared to wipe my device if anyone calls me on it. If we could have got some other ones in there, it would be very interesting to see what we could do with other people's devices. Anyway, the interesting point is you'll also notice some grayed out areas there as far as VNC, etc., and all the rest of it. Now, these are other functions that we reserve there for if it's an OS X device. So if it's an OS X device, I can simply start using exactly the same methodology to start connecting remotely into an OS X device, all right? Just the same way that I'd expect you can do under a Windows system as well. Now, when I look at software distribution, I can then create a QMX package, okay? And with this, I'll just run through and show you how it looks, but look, at the end of the day, you can show all. And notice what you're starting to get here within SCCM. This is part of what our extensions enable it to do. If you want to start managing even things like Cisco devices, look, your Cisco, whoever looks after your Cisco and switches is probably got their own mechanism of how they want to do things. But at the end of the day, if you want to be able to store things back here into SCCM, and again, go for that single point of truth for your device management, it is possible, okay? So if I just hide that and just look at it more appropriately now, you can see here I can install applications, remove applications, etc. Okay, so if I was to install an application, it's going to look for the URL. So this is straightforward. You simply open up a browser, go and find the app that you want in the iStore, take the URL, place it in here, and away we go from there. If you've got your own enterprise deployment, that's fine. Simply check on this button, and away we go from there. Okay, you can see you've got some various settings. If I come back to that, and then let's look at just installing a profile. Okay, again, distribution point, it can see the configuration distribution point that's the default under SCCM. But then we start looking at something a little bit deeper. And if I look at, now in this particular example, what we've done is just stored it straight on C drive. Okay. So just looking at packages and profiles. Okay. You'll also notice as well, there's a facility there to start using credentials as well. Now, this is probably a little bit more for the OS X side of things, but there's also an encryption tool. So if you wanted to create text files that then have the user ID and password in clear text, but then you can then encrypt them so that they're not being discovered. Now, you notice here I've got the various profiles because it's figured out I've got those files sitting in that C profiles path, and then it's going to take that and push it out to the device, okay? And it is that simple. This is where you start filling in. I'm sorry, I get bored with this stuff, right? So test version number, da-da-da-da-da. I'll call it two, and I'll move on to the next piece. And then it's going to take it, use the QMX 2012 demo, that's fine. And I probably need a... Okay. And there we go. So I've now created the package ready to go. It is that simple. Now, if we've already got packages, and if I look under the... This is where I try to remember where everything is in here. Whoops, hang on. That's not that one. So there we go. I've got a number of various packages that have already been used by various other people in our team, pretty much globally. Okay, so I've got Angry Birds. Well, that's a very useful tool. I can see that really running well in the enterprise. But you can also see the various other bits about either a Skype install or a Skype remove. Okay, so it's fairly straightforward in the way its manner works. Okay, if we look down at monitoring and look at, I think it's distribution status. There we go. So you can see as well here that we can keep track of when these devices have gone out. Now, if I come back to have a quick look at the device, there we go. What I haven't shown you here is how the software distribution works. Interestingly enough, I think they forgot about the 2012 nomenclature with where it says distribution or deploy instead of advertise at the end there. Anyway, so you can see here these are the various advertisements that have gone out. Okay, and for instance, if I was then to use Angry Birds and I just want to push that out to myself, okay, because I've already highlighted this, you can see here I can simply pick up all non-Windows systems, iOS or iPads, or in this particular case, what I'll do is create a new collection just for my device. Okay, comes through there. Okay, next. And then, yes, this should expire. Well, this is actually US time, so that's fine. We'll just have it expire straight away anyway. Okay? So that is how simple it can be as far as deployment. Are there any sort of quick questions while I've got the management console up here? Not perhaps scenario to your scenario, but please. Yes, mate. It will wipe everything the way the native iOS device does its wipe, and it sets it back to a factory default. There is no ifs or buts in that. This is not that fancy to a certain extent. Okay? There are a lot of information from, say, people like Good and Mobile Iron, various other, AirWatch I think is another one as well. There's various pieces that are promised as far as containerizing between your corporate data and your private data. But look, it's interesting. I've sat next to a guy who was, I hesitate to use the word in this company, but a penetration expert, sorry, but security penetration-wise. And some of what he had to say about people like those sort of products in that what they promise and what they actually can deliver was very interesting indeed. But, you know, I'm not an expert in that field. What I would say is from a BYOD, do you really want to go to that level? And to be honest, I see wiping the device as being like the last resort to a certain extent. Equally, there's some of the other bits and pieces they have in their technologies is location awareness to the point where the person who's got the admin function can actually see where those devices are up to every 30 minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but that opens up a legal can of worms like you wouldn't believe. I'd hate to think if the unions got involved in that as well. I mean, just thinking about it, even from, say, a medical and health perspective, and you're asking people, nurses and doctors, et cetera, to use their own device to be able to be more productive and have email systems, but then you're also going to track where they are. I don't know. You be the judge. Sorry. Sorry, just did that answer your question? Yep. Sorry, mate. I'll cover that off in a tick with a couple more slides, okay, as far as how the rest of the mechanism works, but it works. This is actually coming from the US, okay? So when people have registered, etc., it's going over to the US and coming back. It's just using normal certificate and HTTPS side of things, okay? Okay, I understand what you mean about distribution point. Only the very smallest amount, because that's not my area of expertise. Maybe someone else can help on that with the SCCM side of things. Good question. I'll cover that up in a tech. I was taking a bit of a risk asking for questions while I had the management console, but I figured I'd run with it. Anybody else? Yep. With the... Good question. Can I pick that up in a bit of detail afterwards? Yep. As in after the session, sorry, because I don't necessarily... I haven't run through that myself yet. Okay. All right, so what I'll do is I'll keep cracking on. I'm not doing too bad on time there. So we've got to that point, so let's... Okay. So I'll just cover off in a little bit more detail how the rest of the system works. Okay. So as far as QMX being... it helps do that whole configuration management, and hopefully... This has given you a bit of a taste as to how the system works and how it can all come together and start to be valid in your own systems, okay? Just explaining briefly, and this sort of comes back to a certain extent on the point there about how the distribution works. When it first runs through the registration process, the device... Actually, I should probably just check and see if this... We've got a little... I'm sure there's a laser here somewhere. Oh, there we go. Right, so when the device actually registers, the information is coming through here to the device enrollment service, okay, through to your own internal certificate authority, which is part of your Active Directory. You've got a certificate authority, haven't you? Okay, maybe, maybe not. But certainly, this is where the information comes through to get that certificate enrollment process. Once that process is done, the information comes through here, and the device does its first, if you like, inventory, presents it through QMX, and it arrives in SCCM. At this point, all the traffic is pretty much from the device straight through QMX to the SCCM, bidirectional, and that's the way it works. However, when you go to the management console and you simply use a right-click or however, whatever mechanism you want to call out for further information or instructions or sending out profiles, etc., it simply uses a very pragmatic process of running through here, and we've set up a system where it just calls through 2195 out to the Apple push notification service. It then tells the device, you've got work to do, go and call home, and then run through the process. From that point, all the information flows direct from the device through QMX down to SCCM. Okay? In the same manner that if you have an Android device, it'll use, I was referring to it as Google Marketplace. I think it's actually changed. Sorry? Play Store. Okay. Yeah, marketing. Change the name. So regardless of what the name's changed, it's basically still doing the same mechanism. There's the same central place where it goes and talks to, where it knows to check against the apps that it's got, whether or not they're up to date, and if they're not, then it alerts you. So in the same mechanism, it simply uses that to be able to go through and talk through the system. So I think what I've hopefully sort of highlighted here is not only is QMX a valid system for SCCM and extending it into being able to deal with the iPads and the iPhones and the Android sort of devices, which are definitely the most topical component right now, okay? But I think the real key here is broadening out that message. In the orange section above here, this is your traditional, if you like, Microsoft stack, okay? So when you start talking a wider area about other devices, other systems that are non-Windows, we can help bring all of those systems back in under SCCM and SCOM to hopefully make that your single umbrella. Does that make sense? So there's also an OSX element as well. This was something that got, again, a couple of Microsoft folks quite happy that this is, again, a system where they can start leveraging it and showcasing it through this. Again, with the OSX, this one is actually agent or agentless, okay? You've got a choice depending on the two. And in fact, an interesting point from our side at least is that US Department of Defense have deployed 1.2 million nodes of QMX in this area. So it's certainly, from certainly the understanding that I've seen of some of the bigger systems, the great thing is we are not necessarily dependent, you know, it's not QMX that has any questions about scalability. We scale out just as far and as wide and as deep as SCCM can. Okay? So again, just sort of covering that off as far as the OSX side of things, there's about 120 cross-platform devices that we can bring in there. But certainly from the OSX side, you've got the VNC, you've got the SSH, you've got the various systems underneath there. In fact, if you look under that same Resource Explorer element, you'll start to see all of the applications actually listed under Add Remove Programs. It's just the same way that you treat a Windows system. Okay? Very simple, very straightforward. And I guess one other point that I thought worth pointing out is if you've got an environment that has OSX devices that aren't BYOC and are perhaps either owned by education or owned by the company, then something quite interesting is we can start looking at the identity management space underneath that and then start looking at pushing out a GPO-based system to help control and conform those OSX devices. Okay? So we can start bringing it under Active Directory, et cetera, and start to have an understanding of the local admin or the local root user ID and password, okay? Because it's all very well to have this facility under SCCM where I can right-click and whether it be SSH or VNC, but if you don't have the underlying credentials and the management of those credentials, then it's not necessarily going to be fit for purpose, okay? But Quest Authentication Services, the QAS component, is certainly something that could be of use in that sphere. Okay. Now, I guess just to touch briefly on another element that's coming through as far as the SCCM and QMX side of things, there is a mobile enterprise piece that has not yet been released. Okay, it is in beta if people want to start looking at seriously on this side of things. I would suggest that perhaps at the moment there may be a slight pause in that with the way things are set up with Quest at the moment because we do have an active acquisition process at the moment, okay? Having said that, the nice part about the approach that we've taken with this is the fact that we're not going to start changing too much and we're still not going to go to an agentless-based system unless, of course, you want to start detecting of the jailbroken device. Having said that, the whole process and approach here is to actually do it and treat the device as if it's jailbroken regardless, okay? So the mechanism is almost token-based, if you like, through an active proxy, an active sync proxy. Okay, so if we can actually control the mobile email so that it doesn't actually get stored on the device, okay, it's simply being held in memory. Okay, then you can start to cut away some of those major dangers, I should say, about your concerns about mobile email. At the moment, most people, and I do say most, but generally speaking, 90% of people's concerns around compartmentalizing information, data, customer data, and or corporate data against personal data, it's all around email, okay? That's really what it's looking at. So rather than actually take an agent-based approach where I start to clobber all of the beautiful things about a smartphone device and then turn it into a pretty much a brick, okay? Let's leave that and let's let it run like that. Let's give the users access to the iCloud, okay? Knowing full well that my corporate data, okay, my sensitive data, isn't necessarily going to spill over into a personal iCloud backup system, okay? That's obviously one of the biggest concerns, okay? So if we can, you can detect the jailbroken devices, but equally, again, what I'd point out is we're going to treat it like it's jailbroken in the first place. You can actually start managing and starting setting policies around the control about whether or not you're able to forward or cut and paste, etc., from your email systems. And in this way, you can start to control it, okay? There is also an element of geofencing. Having said that, being a techie, I'll just preface that quickly with one customer said, geofencing, love it. What I want is for everyone to have a policy when they're in the office, and as soon as they step out of the office, it's another policy. And I thought, well, that's a bit difficult. And I went away and checked with a few folks. The thing is, then you start looking at a full-time GPS enablement and a whole raft of other things to even possibly get that correct. Geofencing, when we refer to that, is done on a country-by-country basis. Okay, even your IP address is not necessarily going to stay static. And in fact, Telstra and or the carriers, your IP address can change quite dramatically. So geofencing is not trivial, but it is able to be done on a country-by-country basis, not on a geolocation like in this building and then walk across the road to the Sofitel and find you've got a different profile. That, I'm sure it can work in someone's environment, but not the way we've got it set up at the moment. Okay. So I guess just to, I'm not doing too bad, yeah, you're doing all right on time. I'll probably have a bit of time there for questions. Okay. The one thing that's probably is worth pointing out as well is that the QMX system works exactly the same on 2007 and 2012. We made no distinction about that. If you start looking at the facilities within the support, we've got a very wide variety of support for a lot of operating systems, okay? It's very deep and very rich and very backwards compatible, so there's hardly any system that we can't do. One thing that was called out to myself at one stage by the team in the US, I thought we could actually do the SNMP side of things in about 4 to 6 weeks. I was actually corrected that it's more like 2 to 4 days. Having said that, if you have a device that is SNMP capable and you have the MIB for it and it's not in our list of systems, you can have it in your system if you so choose. Just send through a feature request. More than happy to take that under advisement and get back to you. Okay? Very simple, very effective. Okay? So I've also included in here, one of the pieces that was called out during the speaker training was the use of very long URLs. So I've taken the liberty there of giving you a short URL for it. There is the setup and install guide, okay? There is also a trial use for 30 days, downloadable from Quest, okay? Certainly have a look at the SECM 2012, because certainly that's getting more and more interest from customers. As we go around and speak to them, there's a lot more interest in getting off on some of the other platforms like Altiris as they start to get to the point where they're past their use-by date. And I guess a couple of other call-outs from the Quest side of things is just if you're looking at migrating from XP to Win7 and you're looking at application migration as well, that's something else we could help with things like ChangeBase. Thanks very much, folks. Any further questions at all? Sorry. Yep. Device deregistration. Actually, a very good point. So for anyone who's tried the demo and had a look at that, if you look under settings, general, profile, you'll find a profile there for the root CA as well as the actual QMX device service. Delete those. That's it. You're done. You've broken the communication train. No, that would have to be done by the admin. Okay. That answered your question? Yep, okay. Yes, sir? Yes, licensing is per device. Yep, okay. I've got a couple of business cards here if anyone wants to get any more information and follow that up. Okay. Any other questions? If you'd like to sort of pop down, I'm more than happy to take them on board. Yeah, sure. Okay.